to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today is March the 15th as I'm recording this, and it's episode number 122, so that's very exciting. And you can find all the backlist of the podcast, because I know we have some new listeners, at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. Now, today I have a very exciting interview with Jane Friedman. Jane is one of those people I've been following on the blogosphere and Twitter and things for years. And she's one of those influencers who just knows so much about the publishing industry, about ebooks, marketing. And so today we have a sort of broad ranging interview all about those types of things. And it was really good to talk to Jane after I've kind of known her online for years. So that will be up shortly. Just before we get into that, I thought I'd give you a bit of an update because I haven't done one recently. So I've been very busy the last few months since I went full time in this sort of author entrepreneur space. Things have kind of taken off and there's been lots of opportunities. One very exciting thing has been working with New York Times bestselling author CJ Lyons on the Pro Writer series of courses, which we've just released two of the modules out of four. Secrets of traditional publishing, how to get published with New York, basically, and then secrets of self-publishing. So CJ, obviously I don't know anything about traditional publishing, and this is something that I've been wanting to do a course on, but of course I personally have no experience. So in the How to Get Published course, which you can find at thecreativepen.com/get-published, I interview CJ for hours and hours on everything to do with traditional publishing, and I learned so much. It was really fascinating for me. It's been a kind of interesting time where I've been considering what I want for my own writing career, whether I want to follow up with sort of New York. I am actually going to New York in July. I'm going to Thriller Fest, so that's kind of my deadline to consider whether or not I'll be pitching my own novels at that event. But of course I'm a very happy indie in the meantime. Prophecy's selling very well, which is lovely, and so CJ and I did a course as well on self-publishing, which is at thecreativepen.com/self-publish, which is all about how we've both indie published. And CJ's book Blind Faith, which she released as an indie, sold 240,000 copies, so of course I was very keen to know what she did and how that happened, and we go through the numbers and promotion and that type of thing. So that's one thing I've been doing, is, you know, creating those multimedia courses, which is a core part of my business model. And I know some people are interested in how I'm actually making a living these days. I used to be an IT consultant and gave that up last October 2011, to become an author entrepreneur full time. And it's funny, I did a diagram which I put on my vision board about 4 years ago. And it had, you know, what the Creative Pen was going to become. And basically it was making income from book sales, from digital courses, online courses, and through speaking. And that is basically what's happened. That is how I'm making my money now. And the speaking is also taking off. I spoke at a publishing conference. I did the keynote the other day. It was on indie authors, which was quite funny. It was like the lion's den. But it was really interesting to speak there and be a slightly dissenting voice. But actually, I didn't get that much of a bashing. I kind of thought I would, but a lot of people agree with indie these days. So that was good. I also spoke at Women Unlimited on Women's Day. I spoke about multimedia courses. So that's exciting. And speaking is really taking off, and of course that for speaking you generally get paid a larger amount for a shorter period. So it's a good model, and I'm doing a workshop next week, another workshop full day with a whole load of non-fiction authors on marketing. So yeah, really exciting time with my my new business model and how that's going to change over time. In terms of my writing, I've obviously been so busy with lots of things that actually my fiction has suffered a little bit. I'm still 22,000 words into Exodus, which is the third in the Arcane series. And I actually wrote a couple of thousand words on a new book, sort of working title was Hunterian. And totally different character, different thing altogether. Still with a slight sort of paranormal side to it, but yeah, I'm not going to talk too much more about that now, but it was just taking up so much of my brain, I had to write a couple of thousand words just to get it out of my head. So that is, that's started, and I'm quite excited about that. I want that one to be finished by the end of the year. So more on that to come. I'm also at the moment rewriting my very first book, which is on career change, which is called How to Enjoy Your Job. I'm changing the title to How to Love Your Job or Find a New One. Because I've now changed my life according to the book I wrote, I wanted to update it and re-release it with, you know, some new perspectives and all the things I've learnt over the last few years, the last 4 years since I wrote it, and how being an entrepreneur has changed things. So keep an eye out for that. I'm hoping to re-release that in April or May, based on when the editing can get done. And yeah, I'm really excited about that because when I wrote it, I was desperate to change my life. I really was miserable as an IT consultant. I couldn't see a way out of my situation in a day job that I hated and felt very stifled in. So I wrote the book in order to find out how I could change my life. And then basically I followed the process that I wrote. And now obviously I am an author entrepreneur, and it's very exciting. So it's a book I care quite deeply about, and I will be re-releasing that, and I hope you'll enjoy that, or you know, find someone who might enjoy that as well, who wants to change their life. Other news, you know, finally, I guess next week I'm actually off down under to Australia and New Zealand. The mammoth trip back, which is, you know, sort of 26, 28 hours in a plane, which is no fun, but obviously it's amazing that one can do that these days. So I'm excited about seeing some friends, going to a wedding, doing some interviews, you know, generally sort of sorting out life down under. And while I'm away, there'll be lots of guest posts on the blog. It will be a good sort of break from London. But I'm very sure that this is my home now. After 11 years down under, I am back where I belong. So exciting times. Okay, let us get on with the show. Here is the interview with Jane Friedman. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm interviewing Jane Friedman. Jane is a former publishing and media exec who now serves as an assistant professor of e-media at the University of Cincinnati. Jane is also a contributing editor at Writer's Digest and speaks on writing, publishing and new media seemingly everywhere online. So welcome, Jane.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And it's great to finally meet you in person, as I said, because we've been online for so long now, probably over 3 years, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Great. So why don't you start by telling us a bit more about your background in writing and publishing?
Yeah, well, it all started probably in college, where I earned a BFA in creative writing. And so I kind of got my training on the more literary side of things, and I was editor of the literary journal at the college. But right after that, I jumped into corporate publishing, and I spent roughly 12 or 13 years at F&W Media, which is a mid-sized publisher that publishes primarily nonfiction, although they've gotten into novels within the last year or two, publishing mystery and soon romance. Mm-hmm. So most people know me for my work at F&W, where I was publisher of Writer's Digest, which has a lot of different services and educational opportunities for writers, including the magazine, Writer's Market, and a lot of publications that most Americans are very familiar with. So it was kind of an interesting experience to have, because it was not only kind of the traditional publishing experience for me, but also it was like the meta writing and publishing experience, because you're talking about writing and publishing and publishing about writing and publishing. So yeah, I think that probably covers it. So what gave me kind of an interesting perspective as far as my Writer's Digest and traditional publishing experience is that my specialization was in self-publishing. Mm. And so on the staff, I was responsible for knowing about the trends in that industry starting in roughly the year 2000, when really there were ebooks, but it wasn't like it is today. And usually most people's path had to do with some kind of print-on-demand option, which had just started around that time and was becoming affordable for most people. So I've been watching the self-pub indie route grow for the last decade or more, and it's certainly been interesting to see the progress, and I know we'll talk about that more later.
Yeah, well, and that's, I think, what you have stood out for me as somebody who doesn't seem to have any kind of snobbery around, you know, the publishing industry, although you've worked in publishing. You just have a great attitude, I think, which is all about, has to be, you know, quality, about product, about creativity, and it's not to do with how you're publishing. So let's talk about ebooks, because I know it's something we both get excited about. So I mean, in the last even few weeks, we've seen iBooks Author, we've seen the whole Amazon backlash, we've seen KDP Select just before Christmas, and now that seems to be a bit on a slump. So what's exciting you about ebooks, and what do you see kind of happening?
Well, I think what's really exciting is that within the last 1 or 2 years especially, we've seen exponential growth for purchases of ebooks through both traditional and independent channels. And so I really like watching kind of how the big six are transitioning in the US from print sales to a bigger percentage of ebook sales. Mm. The growth is so much slower in Europe and some other parts of the world, but in the US, I imagine it's the fastest. And I think at some publishers, it's already beyond 20% of at least unit sales. So I think that's very exciting to watch. And the other component to this that I think people forget is that we don't just want to watch the ebook sales, but also the transition from electronic book purchasing to just online purchasing, whether it's print or electronic, because that really impacts the bricks and mortar stores, or Barnes & Noble, the big chain, and the indies. Mm. So kind of watching how that is moving and how fast it's moving is of endless interest to just about everyone. But beyond that trend, I think it's exciting to see the new tools and services that are available to basically anyone who cares to take the time to learn them. Mm. So there's a new tool I love called Pressbooks.
Yeah,
online-based, and it makes it so easy to produce a professional-looking EPUB file. And I know Vookmaker is going to be launching soon, if it hasn't already, which is probably going to be a competitor with iBooks Author from Apple, which is about the multimedia ebooks. And so, you know, iBooks Author is just this incredible thing where anybody, you download the software, you get the kind of point-and-click, what you see is what you get functionality of most Apple software, and you can create an enhanced ebook or a multimedia ebook, you know, with very little effort and very little training. I mean, it's these programs from Apple and from some other places are very intuitive. So that's really exciting, because I think it democratizes book production. I still think there's an element of professionalism that needs to be applied. But I think there's more power in the hands of authors than ever before.
Mm. No, that's great. And interesting you mentioned print there, because I recently come to the conclusion that I really just don't want to do print, because I think that even if I hire a professional, you know, it kind of annoys me that I can't change things regularly. And, you know, there's so much about print that I think traditional publishers do well. But as you said, the print market is changing. What do you think for indies and print?
For independents and print?
Yeah, for indie authors and print. What, you know, do you have any recommendations?
I think I have two frames of mind about it. I think one is that you either provide print as a service to your readers because they're just demanding it somehow, and it would almost be neglectful not to give them that option. And for that, I really think print on demand is the way to go, because especially if you set it up through some kind of system like CreateSpace, you know, it's very hands-off for you and you don't have to worry about it. It's just fulfilled whenever someone orders it. So to some extent, it depends on your readers and what they're asking for and where they're at in adoption of digital products. On the other hand, I think there's an opportunity to do something with print that could be very special. So creating things that are what I would call like talismans or experiences or some kind of luxury type of product. And this is like totally eschewing print-on-demand types of products and going with very like high quality hardcover, some kind of special thing baked in, like it's signed or you've customized or personalized it in some way. I think there's some opportunities there, but I think it has to fit with the author and with the book. I don't know that that applies to every situation, but certainly you can see some authors taking advantage of print for some of the special experiences it can provide. I read some crazy story about some author who like baked some of his blood cover. I mean, I'm not suggesting anyone experiment with bodily fluids, but it kind of shows you some of the imaginative things that you might be able to do with print editions.
Yeah, well, slightly different. Cory Doctorow actually did some hand-bound things that are all individually different, and he charges $275 US for each of those books, and I thought that was great to do something individual like that. Okay, so you know, you mentioned traditional publishing there. You know, I'm fascinated with traditional publishing, and I'm one of those people who still doesn't know whether or not she's interested. You know, I haven't queried my novels. I don't know whether I want to. Yeah, and but you keep coming back to things that are broken, and for me, one of the things that's crazy is the print model with returns and bookstores. And the other thing is this lack of transparent reporting for authors. How do I know if I do a marketing campaign that, you know, it's worked or whatever? What do you think, is publishing responding to these issues, do you think?
A little bit, when forced. I think it was Simon & Schuster, if I remember correctly, that just launched a new system for its authors, and I think you're going to see more of that, because I mean the publishers benefit from that better reporting themselves, and it also reduces their work from dealing with all the queries from agents and authors about these issues. So yeah, and publishers are kind of in the dark ages when it comes to that sort of pinpoint accuracy on where are sales occurring, how can we respond to maximize the sales. It's really kind of awful. But whether it changes, that it's so difficult, because I don't think publishers are yet feeling the financial pain of some of their existing model. I mean, of course they are to some extent, but they're not going to change the advances. They're not going to change the royalty rate. They're not going to change some of the returns issues, because there's too much money on the line. If they change those things, they're going to start losing money. So until they start losing money because of those old models, it's going to stay the same. I know Mike Shatskin is a very popular analyst here in the States, and he always makes the excellent point that even though Amazon, which has its own publishing program now, has signed up some very notable authors, they haven't kind of taken any authors yet that would really make or pressure the big six to start offering better ebook royalties. And you hear, you know, whisperings that these things will be improved, but you're not really seeing a lot of movement. So it's not that I'm, you know, pessimistic, but it's going to take time for changes to happen.
Especially, I guess, if authors who want something different go indie and don't stick around to pressure.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. Okay, so I'm also interested in your opinion on the discoverability thing, because I've been at some publishing conferences and they talk about that all the time. How do we get readers to discover our books? And indies are kind of in the same situation. You know, the market is kind of saturated. So what are your tips around discoverability?
It's a fabulous question. And I know that the big six publishers are really focusing on metadata, which is not a very fun or sexy thing to talk about. But it really just boils down to making sure that when you publish and distribute your book, you have every possible field completed and accurately tagged and categorized so that it's easy for systems to find your book when people search for, you know, cozy mystery, your book comes up. So something as very simple as being friendly to search engines and algorithms and how these systems search for books, I think that's step one. But I think when that question is raised, I think what independent authors are thinking more of is how can I be better at marketing online or being creative or imaginative with my marketing strategy. And I think this is always hard to give specific advice because it's a combination of your unique story or message or genre, your own strengths and what you're comfortable with, and also who your target audience is and what they respond to. And hopefully, I'd like to think there's a sweet spot for everyone when you look at those three elements. But the other part to this is, you know, sometimes I think we're asking the wrong question. So like we ask, how can I be more discoverable? And the analogy I like to use is like if you're on an online dating site, and if my friend asks me, how can I get people to pay attention? It's kind of like, well, the question I would ask first is, who do you want to attract? Because who you want to attract kind of drives what you post or what kind of strategy you have. And I think if you want to stand out to a certain sort of audience or type of reader, I hope. And so I think it starts with identifying who is that target reader or audience, who are you trying to impact, and thinking about what they respond to. I see a lot of Me Too types of marketing going on. So like, while it's a good idea to look at similar authors and see what strategies they're using, it doesn't really work to say, well, okay, I'll start a Twitter account too, or okay, I'll blog too, I'll be on Facebook too. I mean, it really needs to grow organically from the themes in your own work and where you think your skills are and strengths are best going to shine. So that's kind of a wishy-washy answer. But I think it's more of a creative and imaginative exercise than people initially conceive it as. So it needs to be very unique to each author is what it boils down to.
Now, and I'm interested, you know, because of course I talk about author platform and I've put in a lot of effort myself into my own, but yet I see the people who make, you know, like my friend CJ Lyons, who I'm sure you know, New York Times bestselling author last year with an indie book that sold 240,000 copies. Now, we as authors cannot have that type of platform that we drive ourselves. That comes from the algorithm or something going nuts that we can't even control. So, you know, is that metadata? You know, what's your opinion on what is that?
How much of an impact does it have?
And no, I mean, you know, is it just potluck that somehow something goes nuts, you know, or that Mill River Recluse, you know, what the hell was that? She didn't even have a website.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what's going on in some of these situations. I think there is a little bit of, well, maybe a lot of luck and timing, things just hitting at the exact right moment, some serendipity, where you get that one media mention or that one influencer who it just somehow it all comes together at once and people start talking. There is magic that happens, and how you harness that is anyone's guess.
Yeah, and I think that becomes a problem when we talk about building an author platform, but you can only impact, you know, say 10,000 people would be great if we could all get that size of platform, still not a breakout bestseller.
Right. I think I still strongly believe in how persistence and focus can pay off. I think that many people are impatient. You are not one of them. You have very focused for many years now. And I think what I see most is are people putting in an effort for as little as 4 weeks and saying, why am I not yet a bestseller? And it's, you have to really set tasks for yourself that you are able to sustain for many, many, many months. And then you need to adjust and decide what your new strategy will be when you understand what people respond to. Mm-hmm. So it's something that has to be tweaked and modified, and a journey that continues, especially for someone who's never tried to do this before, who's very new to the idea of marketing one's work. There's a lot to learn, and you're not going to get it right straight out of the door. So some people do, you know, wind up very lucky, but I think for those who aren't as lucky, persistence will lead to the reward that we're all looking for.
No, and I totally agree with you. It's just it is funny, and you know, I'll be an overnight success after 12 years work, like some of these other people.
exactly. There's a great author here in the States that I worked with briefly, Jerry B. Jenkins, who did the Left Behind series.
Oh yeah.
And he, you know, but when that series came out, no one really knew who he was. And he wrote an advice book for writers, and he's like, everyone talks about how I was this overnight success. And he's like, really? Because I was working for roughly 30 years before my overnight success happened.
Yeah, and that is the right attitude. Now, I also, you wrote a kind of funny, it was funny, right? You know, yeah. The future of publishing, which it was actually quite surprising to me, because it was sort of a comedy book, but also has a lot of serious stuff in, right? And you start with the line, and I do advise people to get it, it's very good. You can't just be a writer of stories and books anymore. And that was a tongue-in-cheek comment, but equally, isn't that true? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it is totally true, depending on what your goals are. So if you want to just write stories and books, that's fine, but don't expect to make a living at it. Mm-hmm. So I know there was this kind of controversial interview with Seth Godin within the last couple of weeks where he made some statement to that effect, like, authors shouldn't expect to earn a living anymore. And everyone's like, what are you saying? But I mean, I think his real point was just doing it the way it's always been done, even if that did work before and that's questionable, that's not going to cut it. And we are kind of in a hyper-competitive environment where there are no boundaries or limits to what people can issue, publish, distribute. Mm. Anybody can come to the table with their own book. So rising above the noise, the discoverability, as you said, is that's something that takes quite a bit of work. Mm. And you can't just expect people to pay attention because you put it out there. So, yeah, it's true, you can't just do that unless you have some other people who are going to go do the work for you. Maybe it's a publisher, but they're not really doing the work for you at this point. Maybe you have some really loving family members or friends in high places who know how to get you on the New York Times bestseller list, and then you don't have to do any work. I mean, you have to be a very fortunate person to have the privilege to just sit and write. And I think most of us don't have that level of privilege.
No, exactly. And I mean, I know you online, but I don't know you as a person, you know, very well. But you do seem more like an introvert, like myself. I mean, you're not this sort of gregarious, you know, shouty person. But yet you have an amazing online platform. And one of the questions I get a lot is, what about when you're shy? Yeah. How do you do this stuff? So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I love talking about this issue because I'm kind of like the quintessential introvert who, before social networking came along, I mean, I would have never saw myself as a marketer and promoter. It was just foreign to me. But what social networks did was it allowed me to express myself and connect with people kind of on my own terms, on my own time, in ways that I enjoyed and that were not threatening, that did not put me in situations where I felt like I couldn't get out of, I didn't feel trapped. So when introverts say, I can't market because, you know, I'm just not that kind of a person, it's kind of like, well, are you not paying attention to how much control you have with the online environment? I mean, certainly when you go to in-person events as an introvert, it can be a little more work. But the online world gives you the opportunity to prepare for those events like never before and make connections and set things up so that it can go in such a way that it benefits everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be scared because you already have a level of comfort with those people you've made connections with online.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just don't get it now. I think it's an old cliche that people are now repeating. And I think that also the mistake that's being made is people think that marketing and promotion is some kind of facade or hat or persona that has to be applied that covers up who you really are. And that you don't switch personalities when you're online and talking about your work. You don't suddenly become, you know, the used car salesman. If you are, you're doing it wrong. So I don't think people understand that it's okay to just express yourself as usual. It's okay to be more introverted or to be quirky or whatever it is that you are. Just do that. And it's okay. It doesn't need to be a pitch when you're online or offline.
So. No, I'm glad you said all. I kind of knew you would say that because that's how I feel as well. And I think, you know, those of us who have connected on Twitter and things, I think it's not scary and you don't have to fake it when you're just being yourself.
Right.
So I was going to ask you about Twitter because I had another look at your account and you seem to have like over 150,000 followers. So I wondered, and I thought I was doing all right, you know. So what is your secret of Twitter and what has Twitter done for you, I guess? Why do you like it?
Well, I have to say, when I first joined Twitter, this has been quite a few years ago, I didn't understand it and I abandoned it for, I don't know, maybe 6 to 12 months. And then eventually I went back and gave it another shot and I figured it out. I think that's one of the things about Twitter is it takes a while to figure out. And the reason I have 150,000 followers, I think, is because even though I abandoned it for a while at the beginning, I still got a really early start. And I was one of the first people kind of in the writing community space that was offering helpful links and information.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using kind of the same strategy from the very beginning. I typically only tweet links. I don't have a whole lot of personal information that I share. It's very focused. And I also started out with a strategy of thinking, anytime I tweet something, it's either A, an interruption that better be worth it, or B, an opportunity for someone to unfollow me. So I tweet not so much, maybe 3 to 6 times a day. And I know a lot of people will tweet 5 times that much in a day, and they use it far more conversationally than I do. So I think one of the reasons I have so many followers is because people follow me and then they never see me again. Is not as impressive as you might think. And the other thing that happened was because I was kind of this early adopter and visible from the beginning, I got in the Twitter recommended list for books.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just an engine that kind of drove the numbers higher and higher without me even doing anything. So there was some luck involved in that. But what it's done for me is immeasurable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just led to so many opportunities and connections that I never would have had. And the big example that I often pull out is Publishers Weekly kind of did a who's who in the Twitterverse in publishing. And I got mentioned primarily because I have a bigger following than the other Jane Friedman.
Yeah.
She is the former CEO of HarperCollins and doesn't even really have a Twitter account. She was tweeting as Open Road Media, which is her new company. And so I got mentioned in that, which led to someone at the National Endowment for the Arts, seeing that I had some expertise in new media and publishing. And so that led to an invitation to sit on a panel at the NEA. And then that led to more connections, which led to collaborating with another organization in San Francisco. And so it snowballs.
Mm.
I mean, I think some people get on social media and they're expecting some of the fireworks to happen again very quickly and they kind of give up. And that happened for me probably 2.5 years after I started.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't necessarily see it as like my reward or anything, but I see it as kind of the natural progression of things when you're doing things authentically and you're consistent and you're enjoying it for what it is and not going after it as a means to an end. So I know that's kind of hard to do. It's kind of like this very Zen advice, don't do it with any goal, even though you kind of do have a goal. But I think you do have to enjoy it. And clearly I was enjoying it enough that I kept at it for a very long time, and I still do it, and I still see the benefits.
Mm. I think that's our overwhelming message, is everything takes time.
It does.
So what's next for you? You've written this one book. Have you got some other things in the works? What's next?
There have been quite a few people asking me to put out some kind of like longer, serious type of book. But I'm kind of waffling on that because I don't know that that's the best way that I convey information. I really prefer a back and forth that's in like a workshop or a classroom setting, mm-hmm. because some of the issues that I prefer to discuss can be so difficult. It's hard to give a one-size-fits-all answer. It's much more satisfying to me to help people address the very specific issues that come into play with their own work and careers. So I'm also considering, well, if I prefer the more personalized approach, is there something I can do there? Mm-hmm. So those ideas are floating through my head, but primarily I think I'm teaching full time at the university, so I'm mostly concerned with that, and then seeing like during the summers, are there special things that I can do or special types of content I can gather up that are helpful for people. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any big plans, but I do I am focused on keeping my blog going and doing some special series on there. But yeah, that's pretty much it. JaneFriedman.com, and keeping an eye out for those special classes that I sometimes run with Writer's Digest or at conferences.
Fantastic. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Jane. That was great.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!